Hello everyone and welcome to JFG Tonight. Go Away says Hope JF covers the arrest of Gavin McInnes. We don't know much about it, but that is what I have. Was Proud Boy founders Gavin McInnes actually arrested following his live stream? Speculation is swirling online after Proud Boy's founder Gavin McInnes was seemingly interrupted by law enforcement during a live broadcast. He yells, "We're shooting a show now, can we do this another time?" And then he seems to be attempting to set up a meeting with legal counsel and the individuals off screen. "All right, I'm happy to do that," he says. "I'll get a lawyer and we will sit down and have a conversation. We'll schedule a meeting and we'll sit down with my lawyer." Before disappearing off camera entirely, McInnes tells the individual that he did not let them in to his building. News of the incident quickly spread online, blah, blah, blah. More footage surfaced on Twitter shortly after from a Tuesday episode of McInnes' talk show in which he claimed that unmarked police car had been sitting outside his home. Josh Denny, a comedian who works alongside McInnes, claimed in a tweet on Thursday that the far-right commentator had in fact been arrested. "Just got off the phone with our people. It's not a bit. Gavin was against going to January 6th. He was against Charlottesville and told Proud Boys they were out of the club if they went, but he's rotting away in jail because he dared to question authority." Fascinating. I don't know what will happen with Gavin McInnes. No idea what this is about, but it seems from the friend of Gavin McInnes, it seems that it's related to January 6th or Charlottesville. But in what context would he get arrested? I mean, he's been staying very far from these events, but it's so funny to see the cucks kneeling in front of the system, and it's like, "I'm just a comedian. I've always been against all these things." Quite funny, but he's right. You know, it's true that Gavin McInnes, as far as I could tell, his leadership of Proud Boys was a comedic activity. It was an idea that he's thrown out there, and he's never been seriously engaged with the management, and so. What will the police have against him? I would be surprised if they had anything. But I don't know. Sometimes you can grab public statements when we do 1 hour streaming every day. You end up saying something that misinterpreted through the right lens can make an argument that somehow you've committed a crime. So good luck to Gavin McInnes. I don't know if he's in jail right now. It's hard to know because I'm not connected to his platforms. I don't know where he streams. I don't know where I would know what happened to him. But it's the current status. The Democrat power structure going after the comedians, basically, who are perceived as right-wing. But Gavin McInnes is not even a right-winger. He's a guy who surfed on the alt-right memetics, but he's deeply a punk anarchist leftist. That's what he is. But then somehow the world decided that he was a right-winger, that he was an alt-righter. I don't know why, but he's just a provocative punk thinker. That's who he is. Total Grim says, did he say there was a recession or something? That seems to be a reason to get arrested right now. He has diverged from the Wikipedia narrative. Tim Cox says, glad you're streaming at the normal time again. Well, I didn't even know, but it seems that most people were annoyed at the new streaming time. So I'm happy to come back. It gave me some amount of time to just enjoy the summer, work on the garden a little more during the day. So I enjoyed starting at 8 p.m. Eastern time. But we're back to 7 for the fall, the fall of memetics, we hope. Someone sent me this BPF Trash Talk Extravaganza. I just received it 5 minutes before the show, so I didn't have a chance to determine exactly what he means, but I think he's trash-talking Nick Fuentes and the people of Cozy TV and insulting them. And I don't know, he's illustrating this new platform. He says he has a new platform for streaming, confi.stream. I see that there's Kino Casino with Andy Warski on it. I don't know, does that mean that he's partnering with Andy Warski? I don't know any of this because I just had the chance to watch 5 minutes of it. So I do not know what that means, but it's interesting to see him yelling and trash talking at the people of Cozy TV, calling them fakes. I've never been into, because he says that the people of Cozy TV, the Nick Fuentes crew type of people, which he calls an incel, dead end for incels on the internet. He says that they go after people who exit their cults, like Jaden McNeil, and they start harassing them and they get them to be demonetized. That would be very, very unethical behavior, using the force of the mob to get your ways, especially for an intellectual disagreement. I enjoyed that BPF was just slamming on them, but I just watched a very small portion of it. Meanwhile, there was the Andy Warski weigh-in. Apparently, Andy Warski will be fighting against this Asian guy. In what kind of world do we live? Andy Warski, my ex co-host, the co-host of my show, Warski Live, will be boxing. He had attempted, I believe, to box against Killstream, but he hadn't showed up, so there was only Andy, but the opponent didn't show up. So now we get a guy who's ready to show up, because it's the KSI night, where KSI will be facing two opponents. And on the undercard, Andy Warski will be facing Salt Papi, a man, apparently a YouTuber from the Philippines, who is already into boxing. So he has boxing experience training. He was kind of fat, and apparently he made a lot of exercise to prepare for the fight. Go Away says, Jeff, will the fighters be drug tested? Tim Cox says, when is Andy due to get AIDS? Is he vaccinated? I think that we have here our AIDS moment we've been looking for. An international contact, interracial sweat, pounding against each other. I think there is some magic that could happen here. Just cross your fingers, guys. I made this prediction. It was a long shot. But I think we may be approaching the AIDS moment that we have been waiting for. When is Andy due to have AIDS? I have predicted in 2018, I believe, that within 7 years, Andy Warski would contract HIV. Therefore, we still have 3 years ahead of us. We're relaxed, guys. Calm down, guys. Let the AIDS come. When it feels like it, there is no urgency. Everything is fine. If you would like to support the show, use the dollar button under the Odyssey chat. Odyssey is my favorite platform for super chats. It is the right place to support the show. And I see that the support button on Odyssey has now become green. Maybe it's to encourage people to support the show. I appreciate. I think it's much more visible green like this. So support buttons, you can use it both offline and during the show. But I believe that if you want your super chat to display, you have to use the dollar button below the Odyssey chat. Unfortunately, Odyssey doesn't show this button to the creator, so I don't see it. I don't know how. Tell me in the regular chat, how is the super chat button looking? Is it white? Is it a dollar button? Is it green? I don't know. that is a defect of the platform. They kind of assume, well, the creator cannot super chat to himself, but I'd like to see the user experience. I'd like to see it on my platform so that I can guide my viewers to use it. Alternatively, you can also use Entropy. The link to the Entropy is in the description below. Go Away says, it's red here in Australia. Spindly Opinion says, green dollar button to the right of the like and splat bit. Well, is that in the chat, though? Tim Cox says, dollar button is grayed out for me. Maybe I need to add a payment method. Oh, that's possible. Perhaps you need to add a payment method. Chuck Garrity says, it appears as dollar support in green. Well, those, I think that the dollar support in green is not for super chats. The super chats, it's below the regular chat. And I believe it's a dollar button, but I may be wrong. But I think it's correct that you do have to enter a payment method, a credit card or a bank account, I believe. Well, we have reached a point where the academia is completely divorcing from the search for truth. Nature has published new guidelines for reporting science. Nature is one of the two biggest science journals. It's where every scientist dreams of making a publication. Science must respect the dignity and rights of all humans. This is a new ethics guidance which addresses potential harms for human population groups who do not participate in research, but may be harmed by its publication. And it's quite clear from what they say. They say you have to consider the facts that you report in Nature. If these facts could be used by racist, sexist, ableist, or homophobes, or discriminatory people, you shouldn't report them. They don't say it as clearly as this, but it's pretty clear that this is what it will result in. They are asking to consider the harms and abstain or rephrase things so that they cannot be used by racists, which basically means if you were to find a truth that can be potentially arguably used by racists, scientists will self-censor on it because they will know I cannot be published in Nature if I report this. Now, the problem comes when you consider that these publications are not just publications. They are part of the mechanism of science. They are how you become a great scientist. You publish in Nature. And as such, they play a role in the search for truth. And when you are searching for truth, but you're saying in advance, well, there's a couple of truths which I will self-deceive about, then you are no more fit to serve your purpose for the search for truth. And most importantly, science is funded publicly. So everyone collectively is participating to the funding of science by being taxed for it against their will. So we are all funding science against our will. This money is supposedly given to scientists so that they get back with the truth, but then this truth has been filtered because these institutions decide I'm not going to allow certain truths to come out of this system. And as it turns out, those truths are the ones that would be most likely to serve white people. I mean, if there's a fact about racial differences in intelligence, who would want to know this? Those that are highest on the intelligence scale. If there was a fact about something about dating and how you may be faced with more abuse depending on which group you date with, who would want to know this? Someone who has little chances of being involved in abuse. So when they do these decisions, we should definitely frame this and understand this as an anti-white pursuit. When you hide the truth doesn't advantage everyone equally. The truth is more useful to some people than it is to others. And as it turns out, the truth in this case would gain in getting known by those people who are at the top of an hierarchy that gets denied on an everyday basis by the left. Because if you're in the dating sphere, let's say, and we talk about the desirability of different people with different characteristics, it is really those at the top who benefit from not being deceived about the existence of disordered preferences. Because the problem is we're raising young people to accept everyone and to think that it's bad to have a judgment on someone else. But these judgments would advantage good people to get along with good people, to find good partners of their sexual value. When we hide the fact that, hey, you know, certain decision-making could be improved by knowledge of the link between group identity and intelligence. And I'm picking my words here very carefully, all right? Some knowledge could be gained that helps you find a better mate, for example, that helps you have higher IQ babies. But it is not those people at the bottom of this scale that benefit from this knowledge. So when you hide this knowledge, not only are you deceiving the public, taking their money, lying to them about what you'll do with that money, and returning a truth that ultimately hurts them. That is what's being done here. That is why we must, as I say in my gab, we must abandon the official channels of science communication. They have been compromised and they are working against us. Fuck them all. They will not pursue the truth. We have gained two grounds on them in the last in the realizations of my career. I believe we have advanced in two different ways that the system shows us it cannot advance. We have the revolutionary phenotype. We have a theory that currently is denied by academia through ignorance and not engaging with it, and we have the truths about group identity and group characteristics that is currently being actively denied in the institutions, and that yet we have argued since 2016 that they are correct. And they make some blatantly ridiculous and false statements. Let me try to find the statement I wanted to show here. Oh yeah, race, ethnicity, and racism. Race and ethnicity are sociopolitical constructs. Humans do not have biological races, at least based on modern biological criteria for the identification of geographical races or subspecies. See how they give themselves so much leeway to eventually deny that that's exactly what they said. What is this? What is the modern biological criteria for the identification of geographical races or subspecies? You can see that this definition has been used because it allows them an out. They can say, well, there are Africans in America, so they are not in Africa, so they are not geographically limited to Africa. This is such a dishonest argument. Basically, they are disguising their acknowledgement of race as a denial of race. They say humans do not have biological races because to evaluate a biological race in biology, we would look at the geographic distribution, but we can't do this in humans because there are Africans who took a plane and who got into America. This is so low level and ridiculous and easy to debunk. Humans do have biological races. Every time we've looked at it and every study literally that looks at genetic data, either on the basis of clustering or genetic distance, finds that there are strong divisions within humanity. They are not perfect because humanity is still a species, but they are strong enough that they outclass our divisions of the foxes and the wolves, which are divided in subspecies with much less genetic variation than is observed in humanity. Furthermore, at the beginning of the text, the Nature New Guidelines makes an appeal to consequences. They say, we're going to now tell you that you shouldn't share a truth if it has bad consequences, if it harms certain groups. And that is an appeal to consequence. It is a fallacy. It's a fallacy because it's not because something is undesirable that it is untrue. If we cannot distinguish between desirability and the truth, then there is no more truth. Everything becomes subordinated to the question of morality. And of course, who will dominate that kind of thinking? The harm-based, fundamentally leftist philosophy. That is what we're headed for. And hard sciences are about to fall as high as soft sciences and the humanities have fallen in the last few decades. We are headed toward science-denying people being at the head of our science departments in universities. It sucks. Go Away says, but JF, would you not support a ban on genetic engineering and AI due to its TRP consequences? I would. But that is not obfuscating the truth. I say, yes, genetic engineering is true. I'm not saying DNA doesn't exist, therefore let's stop the research in DNA. I'm saying DNA does exist. And we have to know the truth about TRP to stop it. So I'm not calling for self-deception. I'm calling for not getting involved in the use of tools and the development of tools that can hurt us. It's a very different argument. I'm not saying we should hide ourselves from anything about the truths of DNA and evolution. They do. They do, and they control the academia. Elon Musk has shown some basedness. Elon Musk is always at the border of being based, and we've seen him says, "Who do you think controls the media?" Hello. And so maybe Elon Musk is secretly based, but he can't speak because it would make his stock values drop. I don't know. But he was saying population collapse due to low birth rates is a much bigger risk to civilization than global warming. And look at this, the Association of the Tesla Owners of Silicon Valley. I would guess these guys would be leftists. They say, is having kids the only solution? I think there needs to be a ton of education on this issue. And the answer of Elon Musk is yes. Yes, it's the only solution. Dropping birth rates is not resolved by anything else than increasing birth rate. And so these guys are already trying to cock. They're like, well, isn't there another way we can... No, there's no other way than reproduction to fix the problem of low reproduction. They were, of course, probably referring to immigration, a term so unpopular that at this point even the leftists will not use it. It's like, you read this, there's not a word in this that suggests migrants. But that's what they're suggesting. They're suggesting somehow there's a lack of human beings, maybe we can replace them with other human beings. Well, no, you can't, because then you end up with people exploiting this channel. And the people who come to replace you are not like you, and they can't maintain the society that you've built. This is so basic. It's like presenting the cuckoo bird as the solution to the low birth rates of the nest of the birds that get cuckolded. It's like thinking that, oh, there's a lack of eggs in this nest. Here, let me put some eggs from another species right here. And I solved the problem. Now, the problem is that the cuckoos don't know how to build nests. So you just spam the entire planet with cuckoo birds that don't know how to build nests. And in a generation from now, there's going to be no nest left to be parasitized, because you just drained the goodness of a well-built nest, which was built by this species, and you replace their eggs with the eggs of a species that doesn't build nests even for itself. That doesn't make sense. Now, I can hear the leftist already saying, well, JF, in your example, it's two different species. In humanity, we only have one species. It doesn't change anything. The same truth operates within a species, within a family, within a genre, within an order, within whatever you want. Life keeps competing toward parasitism, and if you let it go, it will go there. Ariel Suarez says, I've been considering to pursue a master's degree, but with the way academia is headed, I am deeply discouraged. Only do so if you truly benefit from it and if you enjoy the suffering. But most of the time, my recommendation would be start working, start developing your professional skills, start interacting with the market. Because it's a big waste of time of your best years if you go into a master's degree. Now, some people in very special position with very special minds can enjoy this, but it's not most people. Most people will get a depression from their master's degree rather than a master's degree. Balu Nut sends a super chat. Thank you so much for the support. He says, JF, science is over. We need a new word to describe understanding of the world versus the ministry of truth that science institutions have become. Please coin it now on this show. I will do better than coin it now. I will travel in the past, and I will refer to this one Facebook post that I had done when I left academia. And the Facebook post finished with, and it had spread a lot, because I wasn't an e-celeb back then yet, not fully. Like, I wasn't a big YouTuber of any kind, but I had a couple thousands retweets on this, shared on Facebook. At the end, and it was my most popular Facebook post in history. At the end of the text, I have said, I'm leaving academia for the very same reason that I joined it, in the hope of finding a better way to help in my search for the truth. And so I think that the search for truth is something that fits your term, searching for the truth. That is the activity that truth seekers do. And that differentiates from the ivory tower, the academia, the whole professionalization and institutionalized form of formerly truth-seeking, but now more and more finding the facts that fit the leftist narrative. So truth-seeking, to me, is the best term for playing your role, because it's a little bit like this I learned from Ryan Dawson. You know how Ryan Dawson said, I called my website anti-neocon, because that is stopping the question of, oh, well, what are you really about? I'm against the neocons. And so you gain into having a term that truly focuses on what it's about, and that is undeniably linked to its finality. So to Ryan Dawson, he wanted to offer an opposition to neoconservatives. And so he called it anti-neocon. So I think that if you want to offer an opposition to self-deception, then you are a truth seeker. And if you are willing to sacrifice social respectability and reputation, because you like the truth so much, then you are a genuine and excellent truth seeker. Findlay Opinion says, is there any evidence in history of matriarchal populations having children above replacement rate Today, the populations having enough children are all patriarchal. Ah, there may be something to what you're saying. I don't know of enough societies that are considered matriarchal that we could even have a good answer to your question. But it's true that if you want to classify the West as being matriarchal, then you may have touched upon something really strong there. I think that's a very interesting question. Now, I'm trying to re-evoke my knowledge of Native American societies as they have been found by the Europeans who traveled here. People are saying that the stream is glitchy. Okay. Hopefully it gets fixed. Let's see, could I fix something here? Seems that my connection to the stream is okay, FFF. What can I do? I'm having some buffering. Go away, says it's working for me again. Let's see if I reload my page. Are we still live? Okay, it seems that we are back live. We are back. So it was just a temporary buffering. Refreshing the browser helped recover on it. All right, so what was I saying? You were asking, Spindly Opinion was asking, evidence of matriarchal societies and whether they can be highly productive in terms of baby making. The thing is, it's very hard to evaluate what qualifies as a matriarchal society. Matriarchal may not be even the right word. So Roland Villot, for example, in Femme de Personne, there is femme de personne. What is the term of it in English? Anyways, I don't know what's the translation for it in English. But Femme de Personne by Roland Villot is my reference work for description of Native American societies. And the house in Native American society was revolving around the woman. And two generations would live in a single house, and that would include the grandchildren, and the man would be a satellite being, inseminating the females who would stay in their full line in the house, including the children, the male children, raising the male children. So is that matriarchal? Well, the men were still in control of politics, intertribe dealings, and war. So it's hard to determine whether does the belonging to a house, is that enough to call it a matriarchal society? I don't know. And so I actually question whether there are any long-sustaining matriarchal societies. If the Native Americans is often quoted as one, but if this was found eventually not to be one, then what is it? Then where is it that a matriarchal society has survived 100 years? That wouldn't even qualify for the West, because we've probably been truly matriarchal, progressively establishing from the right to vote of women, but eventually cementing probably in the 70s and 80s. So I think that the West will probably fall by the time we make 100 years of matriarchy. Or the West will maybe naturally come back to a form of patriarchy. I don't know. but yeah, I wouldn't be surprised that the more you give power to women, the least of an interest there is for spending time producing children. White House press secretary refuses to answer question, what is semi-fascism?
The president said at a fundraiser tonight, just before his rally, the president likened what he called extreme MAGA philosophy to semi-fascism. What exactly is semi-fascism, Corrine?
So let me just first say this tonight, what you heard from this president, Don. And again, thank you for having me, because this is really important. The American people have a choice in front of them. And the president laid that out very clearly, very powerfully tonight. When you look at what Democrats are doing and what they are delivering and what they have done, Don, in less than 2 years, which is lowering costs.
Okay, that is not an answer of what is semi-fascism. Look, this is television, lady. We have very short time. You have to answer the question. What is semi-fascism? It would have been easy. I mean, I know what's semi-fascism in the head of these Democrats. They have this perception that basically there's Hitler, and then there's literally Hitler, and then there's Donald Trump, and semi-fascism is to be basically at the halfway point between being a Democrat and eventually converging toward Hitler. And so that is what semi-fascism means. It means I cannot fully assume that you are Hitler, but you're starting to show signs of Hitler-like thinking. Spindly Opinion says she doesn't know what semi means, never mind fascism is. Well, the CNN host, Don Lemon, eventually asks her again, and he says, thank you for your answer. But the fact is, at no point does she really describe it. What is the difference between semi-fascism and fascism? The heavily redacted Trump search warrant affidavit has been released. The DOJ just released the affidavit submitted in support for the search warrant of former President Trump's Mar-a-Lago residence. And it's a bunch of bullshit because it is so redacted. Every usable point of this affidavit has been redacted. Look at this. Redaction, redaction, redaction. And it's all the useful stuff. It's all the probable cause. What are the arguments that lead you to believe that Trump was intentionally and criminally hiding these documents, as opposed to maybe he thought they were declassified? Maybe they are declassified, because there's a weird turn of phrasing that I catched, that I caught on a part that is not obliterated. They say these documents contain markings of classification. Now, there's a difference between a document that is classified and a document that contains markings of classification. Because if it contains markings of classification, it may have been declassified, as Trump was claiming. So I find in this little part here, and I don't know if I can control F it, marking. There it is. After an initial review of the NARA referral, the Federal Bureau of Investigation opened a criminal investigation to, among other things, determine how the documents with classification markings and records were removed from the White House. So, in a way, with this phrasing, rather than calling them classified material, it seems that it would be totally fine. But why would you, instead of calling something classified material, call them material with classification marking? That is because the person, I suspect, and this is a long shot, but I'm calling it, I suspect that the expert who wrote this document knew that they were potentially declassified, or maybe all declassified, but that he didn't want to lie, and so he said they are marked with classification marking. That is his way of being able to then eventually say, well, I haven't said they were classified. I said they had classification markings. Wow, we are faced with a bunch of dishonest people here. These people are not straightforward. And this gives this terming to me is the biggest reveal of this affidavit. The fact that they would use this term, documents with classification marking. That to me is the most revealing thing, that implicitly the FBI is acknowledging that Trump's claim that they were declassified is maybe true. Maybe true. Also, they have shared a letter from the Trump attorney, because the Trump attorney at this point, you know, you don't know what the FBI is doing, because they don't have to tell you that they're planning a raid. But the Trump lawyer did a very good thing. He sent a letter to the FBI and he said, I asked that in any case that you would start against us in a court, that you share this letter with the judge and with whoever you communicate with about a potential raid that could come. So basically, he was ensuring to have some of his arguments heard, even in an ex parte context. This was the letter. He was saying, it is important to note a few bedrock principles. One, a president has absolute authority to declassify documents. Two, presidential actions involving classified documents are not subject to criminal sanctions. 3. The DOJ must be insulated from political influence. And 4. DOJ must be candid with judges and present exculpatory evidence, including the fact, as reported by this lawyer, that if there was any misunderstanding about the papers that were brought to Mar-a-Lago, that they were protecting these papers, that the NARA could come back and get them, that the FBI could come and get them. Basically, Trump has offered a voluntary route to say, hey, if I have any papers that I shouldn't have, come and get them. No problem. And yet they still have gotten a search warrant. That is taking the rougher path because you want to catch Trump doing something. But catching Trump doing something on something that he's already collaborating with voluntarily is the definition of a fishing expedition. That is what we have here. I think that it's unfortunate that the affidavit is so marked that we basically don't see the reasoning. But it looks like under these marks is some argument that Trump has a tendency to destroy documents. That he has a tendency to write with his pen, oh, destroy these documents, please. And it all comes from the media coverage, and even in the unredacted parts, we can see that they rely a lot on media reports. They have Breitbart website, they have leftist outlets. I'm pretty sure that in the marked material, in the obfuscated parts, they are also quoting something along the lines of the Axios article about Trump's toilets being filled with papers that he was destroying. It's absolutely ridiculous. Trump will get away with nothing, and he will be able to surf on this kind of oppression from the federal government. Paladin sends $25. Thank you so much for supporting the show. He says, the nature ban highlights a concern that a lot of your fans have when it comes to your positions on scientific issues. We feel at some level that some of your education might be influenced by these people. Could you do a show on the politicization of science? Well, I mean, I would recommend you stay away from that kind of argument. Like, maybe I'm tinted. Well, the value of what I say, I've always stood for this principle, that the value of what I say is what I say. I do not stand here as an expert coming from authority. I stand here as a man who's capable of spouting arguments. and I'm kind of good at what I do. And if you don't like it, you go elsewhere. You know, if you don't like it, you question me, you destroy me, you debunk me with facts and logic. I do not come with an indicator of quality or being tempted or being brainwashed. My arguments, just like the arguments of anyone else out there, you should review them for what they are and what they contain. Basically, it's not about JF. It's about what JF can show you. And if I can't show you something that convinces you, then don't be convinced. No, I don't think I'm tempted. By this time, you should understand, given all of the sacrifices I've done, because I could have been hired as a professor in some university if I just shut up, don't make too much trouble, don't offer internet content. If I had shut up, I would be in a big university, maybe not a top one, but I would definitely have a job for the rest of my life in biology, and I would be some obscure professor in some department. You have to measure my quality by the sacrifices I've made. I took this and I threw it to the trash just because I wanted to talk about the truth. So if that's not enough for you, nothing will be. But yeah, it shouldn't be a concern anyways. And then you talking about the politicization of science. It is so indirect. I don't know if I can make a show about this, because the rampant leftism in academia is very subtle, and especially in hard sciences, you basically don't hear about it and you don't see it, but it's there. It's there, but in a very background way. So I don't know if I have much to say about it. But, you know, there were times because I was in very intellectually open lab. So I was trending toward labs of very high quality, like at Duke University, but filled with people who were a little too open, a little more open than you would have in what I call the extremely technical labs. There are technical labs. You know, that they are obsessed. All they want to do is work on a technique and focus on it. These people will not talk much about politics. But because I was headed toward more anthropology-oriented labs with monkey work, I've been surrounded by people who sometimes would share their political views. And it took the forms sometime of certain scientists, you know, wanted to study feminist themes in animal research, like, you know, the idea of a male gaze. The idea of a male gaze is the idea that the society, human society, is so dominated by men that basically when you watch a movie, it's filmed the way a man looks at the world, and because the cameraman was a man, the guy holding the microphone was a man. So basically you watch TV, you see a male perspective on the universe. And then there was the question of what would it be in a world where most cameramen are women? Would it be filmed in the same way? Would we write in the same way? And someone wanted to test these kinds of these principles in monkeys. So one of my friends in the lab was pushing for this idea. So that's just an example into how you can have a direct route from feminism, SJWs, social justice to experiment. So of course, it probably wouldn't have been called male gaze. And if you were to run that experiment, you would probably call it gender-specific patterns and eye movements in macaca mulata. And that would be just a regular scientific paper. But ultimately, it would have been deeply motivated by a feminist prior that there is something wrong with cameras and males in human society. So it's not very hard for the boundary between morals and politics and facts to be broken. And I love testing that boundary. You know, in a way, the reason I pursued all these truths that are like unrelated to TRP is because ultimately I want to test these fuckers. I want to test the liberal podcast host, the Brett Weinstein of this world. If I talk about all of this other shit that you don't like, will you still be acknowledging the truth, or will you be putting me in the Talmudic dungeon of non-engagement? I didn't know the Ted K movie is out. Apparently, it's been out for a couple of months, but I didn't know. And there's a scene here where he's interacting with some guy. I don't know who that is, but he's engaging on why he got interested in anti-technology stuff. And Ted K says, "For me, it was when I heard a bird, and the bird was singing, and then I eventually realized that the bird was imitating a car alarm. And then I realized, what have we done? We've broken nature." And it's quite interesting. He's arguing with the guy and kind of trying to justify what he's done. And he's saying, look, every year there's more people who die from pharmaceutical companies than I ever killed in my entire life. And why is it then that people are so afraid of me, but no one is questioning the pharmaceuticals? It's a good argument. I mean, when you think about Ted Kaczynski, he was not a prolific killer. Yeah, I think he ended up killing 3 people total and injuring. Most of the cases were injuries. His bombs turned out to injure most people that were targeted. So it's a very interesting thing. Of course, I will ask Mama JF if she's willing to watch Ted K tonight, because I didn't know the movie was available. I thought it was about to come out, but no, apparently it's already out. Paladin sends $25. Thank you so much for being so generous to the show. He says, I'm referencing some comments you made about being very skeptical about the university system, not an attack on your integrity. Okay, I thought you were questioning my integrity. Let me reread your super chat. You said, we feel at some level that some of your education might be influenced by these people. Well, it's not an attack on my integrity, but you're suggesting that I'm carrying something that is bad from academia. I get the idea, like, I guess, are you coming at it from a dino denier point of view? Are you telling me that, you know, perhaps the university didn't convince me of being corrupted, but they may have convinced me of bad ideas like the existence of dinosaurs, and I'm carrying it? Well, my response would be the same. My response would be my belief that there are dinosaurs, that there were dinosaurs, is justified based on the facts that I'm able to state about it. So that means the fossils, the genetic evidence, the cranium analysis. If that is not enough to convince you, then don't be convinced. That's it. Lois Lerner, accomplice selected to run new IRS centralized office for 87,000 agents. Nicole Flax was among those IRS agents who claimed that a computer crash erased correspondence that Congress asked for as they sought to uncover an IRS scheme targeting conservative political groups. So they have put exactly who they want there. It is a woman who previously was unable to answer Congress because they were looking into, hey, is it possible that there's some bias against conservatives here in the IRS? And she's the one who came back and stated, well, the emails have been deleted, sorry. So it's exactly who the Democrat wants in that position, because they want this 87,000 IRS agents to be their personal police force to go after right-wing business people, family people who just own a business, that kind of people. Paladin says, give me a break, man. I've got 300 characters to get my point across, lol. We will explore this further in our highly anticipated nationally televised debate on alcotheism. I really appreciate that you are being so generous. By the way, at some point, Paladin, if you have something to tell me and it's not it doesn't fit in the super chat box, always feel free to send me a DM on Discord and you just let me know in a super chat and I'll go read it in full. Or you can use Entropy and use the free questions. But I thank you very much for your support and I appreciate your message. I mean, it's possible that I'm carrying stuff from past education. You know, I cannot exclude the unconscious side effects. Maybe I've been tempted by bad knowledge, but I'm genuinely convinced by it and I share it with the conviction that it's true. CDC finally admits COVID mutations hobbled vaccine effectiveness. The CDC has admitted what was ban-worthy fake news just months ago, that COVID mutated to evade current vaccines, which were created for the original strains. After nearly 40% of the people hospitalized in the U.S. with Omicron were vaxxed and boosted. As Bloomberg reports, from the end of March through May, when Omicron subvariants were the dominant strains, weekly hospitalization rates for all adults spiked, with those over 65 suffering the worst, though it should be noted that total Omicron hospitalizations were far, far lower than when the Delta variant was the dominant strain last fall. Of course, the CDC's timing is suspect as vaccine manufacturers are on the cusp of rolling out their Omicron-targeted shots by Labor Day. That is what we've had again and again in this pandemic. Something is ban-worthy, and then something is erased on the CDC website, and then that something becomes the acknowledged truth. But yeah, this was incomprehensible, the way YouTube was banning the idea that mutations would happen that would change the virus in response to an environment of fully vaxxed people. Of course, it has to. Evolution keeps going. And at this point, we have reached a point where YouTube has been engaging in evolution denial. Can you believe this? We have a new religion here, the religion of leftism, and it leads big institutions like YouTube to deny evolution. What else do we have in the news? We are headed toward the conclusion of the show. DK Shadow says, what virus mutates? They evolve? Who knew? Well, that's how YouTube has reacted. Basically, they were faced with the Brett Weinstein type of argument, and it was like, holy shit, no, that can't happen. And we saw fact-checking entities start explaining that, no, the vaccine does not create mutations. And it's like, well, you're doing a straw man here. No one said the vaccine creates mutations. We said, if everyone is vaccinated, some mutations will be a little more selected than others. That is the theory of evolution. That is what was bound to happen. Texas judge rules a law preventing adults under 21 from carrying handguns violates the Second Amendment. The Texas law violated the Second Amendment, which doesn't say anything about age restrictions, a judge ruled. I think it's kind of based. It's interesting. Wow. That it's happening in Texas is interesting. Perhaps the judge is trying to properly set this case to the Supreme Court. But it's truly a big question here. The Second Amendment doesn't mention age. The right of the people to bear arms shall not be infringed. The people, young people are people. So I don't know how the Supreme Court will react to this. But then, of course, I don't want 2 years old to be accessing loaded guns. You know, it's just dangerous. So I don't know how it will process. I'm sure it will head to the Supreme Court. But perhaps the Supreme Court will decide, yeah, 18 years old across the nation is the law, and you cannot limit any 19 years old, 20 years old, or 21 years old from having a gun. That would be beautiful. NDBL says, need an 1.0 in order to install the bug fix updates. I think you may have gotten the wrong window here. You are on the JFG Tonight chat. Gentlemen, please act accordingly. This is the JFG Tonight chat, sir. Final news item before we end the show. The U.S. has conducted 3 consecutive days of airstrikes in Syria. The U.S. launched more airstrikes in Syria on Thursday, marking the third day of violence since President Biden ordered the bombing of facilities in Deir ez-Zor. So we talked about it 3 days ago. It's continuing. It's unfortunate because it's the engagement again of America in the name of Israel into attacks on Syria, and on top of it, making it a proxy war with Russia. So that is very sad. Because there has been a softening of America in terms of invading countries by foot in the Middle East. But unfortunately, America has remained kneeling to Israel in the pursuit of airstrike. That sucks, and it has to stop. I think that what we did in terms of work to call out Israeli interest in the U.S. has been making amazing progress on the public space, and has perhaps led presidents, starting with Trump and going forward with Joe Biden, kind of be ashamed and kind of not be in for a ground invasion. I like to think that we caused this in some way. The entire movement of resistance from the anti-war left to people like me, that somehow we pushed memes that led the American Democrats and Republicans to understand that the people doesn't want to serve Israel in foreign countries where we have no interest. But the airstrikes are continuing. Hopefully we can get rid of this too. Go Away says, people reach puberty at different ages. Okay, but why are you sharing this information with us? Grapes Coda says, forever Israel's attack dog. Well, hopefully not forever, because one day, as I argued 2 days ago, one day the set of interests that are draining American energy and American power will eventually empty the country and leave. And I'll still be there cheering for America then. Bye-bye, and I'll see you all tomorrow. Thank you.